We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to another episode of the 151 Collective. I am your co-host, Zach Mo, a.k.a. Fat and Sweaty.
And I'm your co-host, Collector, a.k.a. Buzzberry Moonhall.
The fuck is that?
I literally Google searched random funny name, and that's what came up.
What is it again?
Buzzberry Moonhall.
Okay. That's a name.
Yeah, man. It's my name.
Buzzberry Moonhall.
Buzzberry Moonhall.
Moonhall.
Yeah.
I got it.
Got it. Get it. Good.
Get it. Good. Sheesh.
Yeah.
The sass on this one. He puts on an Ash Ketchum hat and he's immediately all fucking sassy.
Yeah. My wife cleaned out the bedroom closet, like switched seasons, you know, like replaced. Anyway, she's moving the clothes around, and this was buried underneath something, so I was pretty stoked to find this again.
He was,
and by find it again, I mean I was pretty happy that my wife found it again and left it in a place that I would see it.
Kudos to her.
Major kudos to Mrs. Collector. She's the goat.
The goatest of goats.
The goatest of goats. I don't think that makes sense.
Greatest of all time is the greatest of all time. The goat of goats. How about that?
The goat of goats. The greatest of all time of greatest of all time.
Yeah. So of all the greatest of all time, she is the greatest of all time.
Would you call it the goat of goats, though?
What would you call it?
The goat? Isn't that like...
Well, no.
Isn't that supposed to be the top tier?
Well, goat is... Right. But goats is such a term that's used so freely nowadays that there is a massive group of goats, but out of that group of goats, she's the goat.
Right. Interesting. Somebody who knows more about phonetics, let us know. Or linguistics, not phonetics. Phonetics is pronunciation. Someone who knows about linguistics, let us know in the comments. How would one refer to the goat of goats, the goatest of goats, the goated one?
You know what it's called? The Miss Collector.
Mrs. Collector, yeah. She's a legend.
Mrs. Collector, yes.
She is a legend.
I don't know what she's doing with you.
Honestly, I don't know either. I'm very lucky. Definitely married up. And yeah, I'm not going to complain about it.
Is she under a hypnotic spell? Like if I say acorn, she'll wake up screaming?
I don't know if acorn is the word. And if I knew the word, I wouldn't tell you the word. Because I'm happy with the way things are.
I'd call the house and just yell it.
What, do we have a house phone?
I don't know. I'd figure it out. I'd send a telegram.
I don't think we have a telegram machine. How were telegrams received? Didn't you have to like go to a place that got telegrams? You couldn't get a telegram to your house, could you?
Doesn't somebody deliver the telegram?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or you could go pick it up at Western Union, right? That's what they used to do before they became the money place.
That's why their logo still has the horse and carriage, the buggy.
Yeah, they were a telegram company. See, I paid attention in some class at some point.
I highly doubt that Wells Fargo was a part of a class.
Wells Fargo, we're talking about Western Union.
I'm talking about Wells Fargo.
You're talking about the horse and buggy from Wells Fargo. Western Union, though, Wells Fargo wasn't a Western Union Factory. Welcome to an episode of the 151 Collective, where we will dive deep into the history of Western Union.
I've had a rough day.
Western Union began in 1851. I'm enlightening the people. You can relax while I do this. Western Union began in 1851 as the New York and Mississippi Valley Printing Telegraph Company. Bang. Its initial goal was to establish a unified telegraph network across the country, replacing numerous fragmented lines. In 1856, the company merged with the Erie and Michigan Telegraph Company, adopting the name Western Union Telegraph Company, signifying the consolidation of the Western lines into one system. Major achievement came in 1861 with the completion of the first transcontinental telegraph line, revolutionizing communication and contributing to the decline of the Pony Express. Bang. I was dead right. Western Union. Although now, what about Wells Fargo's always been a bank. What are you talking about?
I know they got the horse and buggy.
Wells Fargo is rooted in the California Gold Rush and the need for reliable financial services. Founded in 1852 by Henry Wells and William Fargo, it began as an express and banking company, facilitating the secure and rapid movement of gold, hence the horse and buggy. They would move gold, goods, and money across the country. Over time, they expanded their reach, becoming a major player in the financial industry, eventually merging with Northwest in 1998.
There you go. Well, at least I knew there was a horse and buggy on it.
On a totally different company. Yes, you got that part correct. Good job.
I've had a long day. I'm very tired.
How did we get... Oh, yeah, because you said you were... I was like, how did we even start talking about this? You said you were going to fucking telegram my wife.
Acorn.
Ridiculous.
Just the word acorn.
Yeah. Well, I know you're tired and you've had a long day.
You know how like a 4 and a 9 can sometimes look like?
Yeah, I could see that.
All right, so I'm waiting for the bus.
As long as they're not like on a digital placard.
Okay. Well, I'm waiting for the bus.
If it was like handwritten by a 6-year-old, then sure.
Brother.
Oh, go on.
Sitting on the train all sweaty and hot. Get off the bus. I'm waiting for the bus. I get off the train. I'm waiting for the bus. I use a thing on my phone, MTA bus time, and I look up the Q54 to see where it is. It says it's a stop away. So I put my phone in my pocket. I'm like, cool. It's the next bus that's coming. Lo and behold, I don't pay attention. A bus comes. It was the 59 and not the Q54. And then the next thing I know, I'm not near my house. And now I have to trek home from there. And the last time I made that walk was from a bar, very, very drunk. I did it then. I figured I could do it again. Sober. I've just had a long day. I woke up at 7 o'clock. My blood sugar was low. I'm a tired guy.
Question.
Answer.
Which time did you make it faster? The drunk time or this time?
I couldn't tell you because I don't remember the drunk time.
Oh, you were that drunk.
Well, no. It wasn't that I was that drunk.
You were drunk.
10 years ago.
All right.
I probably was that drunk. It was probably like 5-6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's why I'm asking, bro.
I probably stopped somewhere to make a cup of noodles.
On your way home, you stop. Oh, that's like a New York City thing. I don't think people like you can stop and literally buy and make a cup of noodles at like a bodega. That does not, I don't know if even you know this, that does not exist out of, like, the tri-state. Not even in PA.
Well, can't you go to, like, a Wawa?
They don't have Wawa. Wawa only exists in Jersey.
All right, so...
Maybe at, like, a 7-Eleven? Maybe at, like, a Buc-ee's or something like that. But most places...
They have Buc-ee's in PA? I thought that was a Southern
thing. No. I'm saying, like, nationwide.
Oh.
But because I've never been to Buc-ee's, but I've only heard great things, I'm assuming that it's a possibility at a Buc-ee's. But another thing, yeah, let us know. Can you go to a bodega or a corner store at where you live and just make a cup noodles inside of it?
Well, the other thing you have to consider is that in PA, you're most likely not walking home from a bar.
Depends on where you live, but yeah.
I mean, if you're in like Philly, if you're like in
80% of Pennsylvania, you're not walking anywhere.
No. So... I walk home, I have the gas station on the corner I can make a cup of noodles at, and I have the bodega across the street from that gas station that I can make a cup of noodles at, or I could have gotten a sandwich or something.
Yeah, of course, you can get a sandwich, but, like, the whole concept of being able to just make a cup noodles...
Well, they got the hot water.
Yeah, I know. Done it. I know what you mean, but I don't think that exists outside of, let's just say, like the metro tri-state.
Okay. You know what I started doing on my cup noodles?
Enlighten me.
Cracking an egg on top of it. Then you pour the hot boiling water in immediately. Then you close the top back on. Put something hot on top of it so that the steam stays in. Let it sit for like 4 minutes.
Yeah, boom. Fancy ramen.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking delicious. Or you can scramble the egg and put it in.
That's more work. It's easier to just crack it and let the cup noodles do its thing.
Depends on how you're feeling.
I mean, if I'm feeling like scrambling eggs, I'm probably not going to make a fucking cup noodles with it.
Okay. That's just like your prerogative, man.
Uh-oh. My browser refreshed and I can't even see myself. Can you see me?
You're frozen.
Well, you can hear me, but you can't see me.
Correct. Why did you refresh your browser?
I didn't. It just did it. I was staring at the screen and it just refreshed. Pause. Unpause.
And you can move again. Yes.
Yeah, we're moving. We're good. Hopefully the audio didn't get screwed up. The video definitely froze. I could see it was all wonky. But
I mean, the audio on my end was perfectly fine, so I don't think
that... All right. Well, that's good. So yeah, moral of the story is if I'm going to like take out more than a fork as my utensil, I'm not having cup noodles.
Okay, fine. Like I said, that's your prerogative.
Yeah, it is, man. Also, how many people do you think we're the only people, like Jersey and New York people, that call it cup noodles?
Well, there's cup noodles and there's Maruchan instant lunch.
No. That's not it's not called cup noodles.
Yes, it is.
No, it's called cup of noodles.
It's debatable.
Look at the bro.
Called Denise.
We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned goods stuff,
shop vac supplies, toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details. Save big money at
Menards. And cup noodles.
Maruchan.
Instant lunch.
Yeah, that's cup noodles. And then that's Nissan, what I know as cup noodles.
Nissan instant
lunch. Well, maybe it's just called cup noodles. Yeah, I always Nissan thought it was cup of noodles.
Nope. So did I until I realized that it's wrong.
So we're right, regardless.
There's Maruchan instant lunch.
Well, is there a company called like Cup O Noodles? Oh, there is. That's the difference.
Is that Nissan?
No, interestingly, it also says Cup Noodles.
Right.
But the company, why did Cup... Oh, bro, they changed their name. Yo. We're learning all sorts of shit today. You wanted history on... You wanted history on Western Union. You wanted history on Wells Fargo. You want history on Cup Noodles? Let me tell you, you've got the right motherfucking podcast. Why did Cup of Noodles change to Cup Noodles? In 1973, Nissan began selling Cup O Noodles. The changed name, which eventually transformed to the Cup Noodles, with an S, that we know in the United States today, was more than just a change in branding for the new market. It was also an outward indication that the contents of the polystyrene cup, were different than their Japanese cup noodle counterpart. Nissan came, so it's cup noodles. Not cup noodle. Cup noodle is one thing, cup noodles is something else. Nissan came up with new flavors for the American market. Originally, beef, chicken, and shrimp were offered. Then they changed the noodles because during that fateful trip in which Ando was introduced to the miracle of expanded polystyrene, he also observed that the American supermarket managers broke up their noodles before cooking and ate them with forks. To accommodate these cultural preferences, Nissan made the noodles shorter. And in the process, Nissan made a product that was similar to the wonderful original, but it was different because it was bad. To be fair, I don't actually know whether the first Nissan Cup of Noodles products were bad. I wasn't alive when they were introduced, but I do know every American Cup Noodles product I've ever eaten has tasted bad and has had bad noodles. Oh my God. And every Japanese Cup Noodle product has been passable to good with legitimately good noodles.
What a fucking hater.
Well, maybe you get the good Japanese ones.
I get the Maruchan instant lunch.
Yeah, a Maruchan's a totally different brand. Yeah. Very interesting things we're learning today, folks.
Now, if I am getting Nissin cup noodles, the hearty chicken is the only one that I really truly like. It has like a creaminess to it. It is so fucking delicious, and I can never find it anywhere.
Because everybody gets that one.
No, it's because they don't fucking sell it anywhere near me.
That's annoying.
Maybe if I went to a Buc-ee's.
I don't know. I've never been to a Buc-ee's. I really want to go.
Neither have I. To my knowledge, I've only seen somebody go to in Texas.
I'm sure I think they're in a lot more states. Just Texas, yeah. But yeah. I'm excited to eventually make my way to a Buc-ee's. So, bro.
Talk to me.
The past 2 days, because everybody thought we were recording yesterday, my inbox has been flooded.
Yeah, with the same group of cahoots.
With a group of cahoots in cahoots, I'll tell you. Let me read this. Allow me to divulge.
Oh, we're going
to
get one of them?
Oh, yeah. I think we should do this weekly. We should pick one and read it.
Okay.
Last night, as I was sitting in my living room and
Before you continue, who does this one come from?
Yeah, I think we should just keep it. Not. We shouldn't reveal that. You have to guess.
I have to guess which one? Okay.
Yeah, we should do that. That's fun. Okay. New rules. Okay. We get them all. We read the one that we think is the funniest or weirdest or whatever. The one that we pick for whatever reason. And the other person has to guess.
Cool.
Here we go. Last night, as I was sitting in my living room and watching a little TV before bed, I heard a strange noise. It was a slow, drawn-out scraping across the hardwood floor. Confused, I searched for... My camera did the thing again.
The fuck's going on with your computer, bro?
I don't know, man. I have no clue. Pause, internet magic. And we're back. Sorry, guys. Confused, I searched for the source of the sound, and I found it immediately. Someone had slipped a small, folded note under the door. What the? More curious than anything, I approached the note slowly. I knelt down cautiously and picked up the strange paper. On it were only six words, scrawled on in a crude, messy fashion. How was Zachmo's week in collecting? I didn't pause because the note had come from under the closet door, but because of the question on the note. How was Zachmo's week in collecting? How was his week? Any new singles? Did he even rip? If he did, what? 151? Prismatic? The best set in the whole wide world? Or was he a little conservative this week because he has a Kill Tony show to watch? Please, please, please ask the man for me. I can't think straight at work because of that damn note.
Well, I can tell you right away, you that gave it away so easily. That was Charles.
I need to know like how they're like what kind of keywording are they using? That was pretty good.
Do you do audiobooks?
No, not really. My wife does.
No, I mean like do you record audiobooks?
No, I don't. You should. That's pretty good read though.
That was because next week is going to be terrible, trust me. But that was 100% Charlie. Am I right?
Yeah, definitely.
Prismatic, the best set.
Yeah, but like how does ChatGPT know that or whatever they're using to write these things?
I don't know who's coming up with this shit. I mean, Charlie's not that bright of a kid. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Got him. Yeah, I don't know. We'll figure that out one day.
One day we'll get the answers.
All right, but so anyway, let me fucking answer this. The note that stood under the closet door. I didn't rip. I think I did get one more shuckle from Annie Ann. I bought her a pack for that. My weekend collecting, so it was pretty much boring because I didn't rip or anything. What I did do, though, however, was some binder work, which is something I haven't done in a very long time.
Binder work. Let me see your binder work.
So I have a binder. It's pretty dope, if you ask me. I got it from the Pokemon Center website. And it just happens to be right next to me, so I can show you. It's that Black Charizard one.
Oh, yeah. It looks sick.
Do Yeah. So I really enjoy this binder. I filled it with Pokemon cards. Specifically, I did the big three. So we got Squirtle to Blastoise, Bulbasaur to Venusaur, Charmander to Charizard.
I'm going to interrupt you really quick and let you know that technically you did rip last week. You ordered on the 4th. That was Monday.
That was from Mike's birthday.
Yeah, you got three packs out of it, didn't you?
Three for him. Yeah, three for him, three for me.
Didn't you get a hit, if I remember correctly?
I got the Steelix and traded it for a Vulpix.
Oh, yeah. I remember. Okay.
I feel like maybe we talked about that, though, last week. I could be wrong.
Maybe.
I don't know. Three for API for his birthday. Pigeon Boy, three for me.
Shout out, Pigeon Boy. Happy belated.
Why are you looking up when I ordered?
Because I was like, I'm pretty sure he ripped last week.
Creep. Found a lot of cards I didn't know I had. So what I did also was I deleted everything out of the Collector app.
Woof. That would make me lose my mind. I have such a hard time with that app, dude.
I've traded so much shit and like never take it out. And there's a lot of shit that I keep forgetting to add in.
That's why that's why it's so hard for me to manage. Sorry to keep interrupting.
You're good. No, go ahead.
It's just hard for me to manage, man. Like the app is hard for me to use. Like my sealed collection, I'm always like buying and selling and trading. And
you do a lot more than I do.
It's hard to manage the app. It's inaccurate all the time. And the other thing that really sucks ass about it is that if you remove, like, let's say just easy numbers, your collection is $1,000 and then you like sell a $100 card, it's going to look like your cards went down 10% in value on the chart,
on the graph, on the chart. Yeah.
It looks like you're, instead of like, there's no differentiation between like taking some money out of your collection and and the performance of the cards within the collection.
That's a very fair point. I remember I did, I took out the 151 Charizard at one point, and it just, the whole graph just went like shot down.
Yeah. And that's stupid because like the other cards didn't lose value. And then if you like add a really expensive card, it just makes it look like your portfolio is performing incredibly well, but that's also not the case. Like it's not actually managing your portfolio.
It's just showing you what was taken out and what was, I don't know.
But it doesn't show the performance. Like I'm looking for a long-term performance of the individual products.
Well, then you have to go into the actual product.
Yeah, but that's I want to see the overall portfolio performance, and it doesn't show that.
I think I disagree.
No, it totally doesn't. Unless you don't touch your portfolio for a really long time.
But aren't you constantly adding to your portfolio?
Yes, which is part of the problem.
I don't follow them.
Your portfolio is...
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned goods stuff.
Shop vac supplies. Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details. Save big money.
Not managed by the percentage gains on Collector app. It's managed by what you add to it. So in theory, you can just look like a genius by constantly adding stuff to the collection. And it looks like, oh, I made 100% this month. I made 300% this month. But you're just adding shit to your collection.
Well, no, because if I look at portfolio right now as we speak, in the last one day, I'm actually down $1.38.
Right. But you haven't changed anything in the last one day, right?
Correct. So something lost value.
Yep. But now if you add something, that number is completely irrelevant to everything else in the portfolio. Because it's going to change your total portfolio value, and it won't show you a screenshot or a snapshot of how the items within the portfolio have performed. There's no baseline number. There's no historical data. There's nothing. It doesn't show you how you're actually performing.
You can just go look at the cards.
Like, but if your collection has 4,000 items in it.
We both know I don't have 4,000 cards.
Well, good. Then maybe the app is a good use case for you. But for someone who has a large collection, I don't think it's as effective as it could be.
The 151 Charizard's up 9%, up $18.
It's also a little slow to update the collector app. That's just like kind of like a, that's not as big of a deal.
Well, I'm slow to update.
But yeah, the app is definitely slow to update.
What do you see the Charizard at on TCG?
I have no idea. I can look.
So I decided to delete everything off the collector app.
The 151 Charizard? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. It's number 199.
TCG players also, that's another bugaboo I have, that the functionality of their search bar is atrocious. Most recent sale. Wait, why is, God, I hate TCG lately. They changed way too many things. They show market to be at like 210.
That's what the collector app is showing.
209.32.
I see 221.
Yeah. So for singles, it does a decent job, unless there's stuff that has like really big spikes. But for sealed, it doesn't, because sealed doesn't sell as often on TCG player, if at all. So there's items where the value is extremely outdated within the app. So for sealed, it's just not as good, which is what I'm using it for. I'm using it to manage my sealed portfolio. And then actually, when I look at, oh no, I clicked the wrong thing. I don't want free returns. Yeah, so on the Bay, it actually sells a little bit less. It looks like on eBay, it's going for 175, 180. Those are the last two sales on it, raw.
You know, also on the collector app, when you go to your portfolio, there is a filter where you can sort it.
Mm-hmm.
Sort it. I don't know why I said it like that. But you sort it by percentage change. So portfolio. I just did that. Yeah.
Okay.
Sort.
Well, you're on mobile, so it's different than what I see.
Oh.
Products sort by percentage change, high to low. But then it doesn't give me any information on what the percentage change is.
Well, on the mobile app, it does. Like, I see I have a Charmander. It was a Sword and Shield promo. It jumped 107%. Went up 88 cents, and then it's now worth $1.70.
Yeah, so what happened here with, like, this product, they're showing the value. I just happened to click on the thing that had the highest percentage change in the collector app, and it's a Fusion Strike blister pack with Blitzel as the promo, a single pack of Fusion Strike. The market value on that pack as of August 6th was $14.37, which is insane. That's clearly not the market value of that item. One sold on TCG player, and it increased, it essentially doubled the market value, and now it's saying the market value is 24. But the lowest listed item on TCG player is 50. So the market value on that particular item was 14 a few days ago. Now it says it's 24, but you can't buy it anywhere for less than 50. So totally erroneous. Again, it's mainly like the issue that I run into is that with sealed, it does not do as good of a job.
So if, as a collector, like I am, it does a decent job for what I, you know, the basics of what I like to.
Yes. Look at. I understand.
It's
also such a pain to remove stuff. I have to do it like one at a time, and then it's going to look like the portfolio is not performing the right way, blah, blah, blah.
But again, as a collector like I am, this is a good app to use. I don't, you know, do sealed shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I decided to delete everything off the collector app.
Okay.
You add everything.
Sorry, continue.
So that was pretty much what I did like in the past week. Over a couple of days, I added a ton of shit back onto it. Like right now, it says my portfolio is worth $4,904.69, which is pretty dope.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty much all I did in
collecting. So what were you bindering?
So it was just the big three evolution lines.
Okay.
So just a bunch of chart. I set it up with I started the first page. I'm not gonna go page by page, but I started the first page with the base set ones that I have of Charmander, Charmeleon, Venusaur, Ivysaur. I mean, not Venusaur. I don't have any base set big three. And then for the next couple of pages, it's everything I have that goes together. So I have the Stellar Crown and Shroud. Is it Shrouded Fable? The Bulbasaur, Squirtle, and then the Charmander from not Shrouded. Are they both Stellar Crown?
Yeah.
They're both Stellar Crown. Okay. And the Charmander from Obsidian Flames CTBs.
Okay.
And then right under that, I have the Japanese versions of those, the promos, which you got me, which I highly appreciate. I don't know if you know the value they are now from when you got them for me.
I'm sure they went up. I don't know the value off the top of my head, but I'm sure they are more than I got them for.
You charged me $35 for them. I think now alone, they're like $40 to $50 each.
Nice.
So
that's the three. Oh, they come in that box. I guess I sold that box relatively recently. I wonder what that box goes for.
No, so you hit up your Japanese contact.
Yeah, and I just got the cards, but they come from that box.
Right. You did have the box at one point, I remember, and you were selling it for like $75.
Yeah.
I remember I wanted to get
cards are worth $50 a piece, then the box is obviously going to be more than that.
Yeah, the Squirtle alone is $47.75 on collector.
I wonder what that box goes for.
And I love those promos. I'm so happy I asked you to get those for me.
Anytime, amigo.
I don't want them again because now they're going to be too much money. so on and so forth. Like they go in like what I have in order. So the 151 art rares to the SIRs. I'm still missing the Blastoise, so I have an open spot for that. And then eventually, I skipped a couple of pages, left them blank. And then I did a Charmander page, Charmeleon page, Charizard pages, so on and so forth with the other ones, which I already have to redo because I didn't leave enough pages. And they're already getting all mixed in, and it pissed me off. I'm very, very anal when it comes to binder sorting. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm not that, you know, structured of a person, but when it comes to doing a binder, I like it very structured and very neat and clean. So I already want to redo the whole fucking binder, which annoys me, but what are you gonna do?
It is an annoying part of collecting. Bindering is definitely
It's annoying, and it isn't, because I do enjoy doing it. I like thinking of new ways to set up a binder.
Yeah, but I feel that.
And then I set it up and I'm like, you know what, I don't like it this way, and I'm gonna do it another way. But that's just me as a person. Like if I'm playing Planet Zoo, I've actually talked to Rick about this before. Like I'll tell him like, oh, I'm gonna put this animal in, and then like a week later he'll be like, oh, how's that zoo coming along? I'm like, oh, I didn't like it, I restarted. I do that constantly.
That would annoy me.
What?
Putting work in on a video game for several hours and then just starting over.
You sit there for fucking hours building one exhibit.
I've actually been playing way more video games than normal. I've gotten into Tony Hawk pretty deep, 1 and 2. Considering trying to plat. I've never done that before. It's actually also the first game I've ever 100%ed.
On PS5?
Yeah.
You already 100%ed it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
It doesn't take long to 100% the game. Well, I don't know if it shows on PS5 if it's 100%ed, because I only 100%ed with one skater in like. So
okay, let's be fair. 100%. I don't know exactly the term for Tony Hawk Pro Skater their definition of 100%. When you say 100%, what do you mean?
We're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned goods stuff,
shop vac supplies, toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details. Save big money
at Menards. So I started on level one warehouse with Tony Hawk, unlocked everything all the way through Thips 1 and Thips 2 with Tony Hawk. All stat points, all the achievements, whatever. So it says completion 100%, completion 100% on both Tony Hawk 1 and Tony Hawk 2. But
okay, so then you did 100% complete it.
Kind of. I didn't hit all the gaps. I didn't hit all of, and I only did it with Tony Hawk and Bob Burnquist at this point. So I think the next, I 100%ed it with Tony Hawk and I 100%ed it with Bob Burnquist. They're both stats maxed. And now I'm starting through with Steve Cab. But to plat, I have to hit everything, all the gaps, all the everything.
Well, that's different from 100%ing the game. You 100%ed and completed the game. You didn't 100% the achievements.
Right. Yeah. 100%ed the game with both Tony and Bob. But it doesn't take long. Like, especially after you do it once, it doesn't. Like, I can 100%. Yeah, I can, with a new skater, I can go in and 100% Tony Hawk 1 in, like, probably 2 hours.
Why don't you do Red Dead 2?
Yeah, totally different experience.
A very long and grueling 100%.
Yeah, dude. The difference with, like, a sports game, especially something like Tony Hawk, is that, like, that combo chaining factor just makes the game so much fun. That's what gives it its replay value. You're always competing to get the highest score at every moment. So it's like immediate gratification on your performance. Like, what you're doing every single second matters. Whereas like a game like Red Dead, the reason I wouldn't really play that game by myself is because in between a mission and the next mission, there's 20 minutes of just tapping X riding across the fucking map.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, there's a ton of distractions in between mission A and mission B.
Yes, it's an open world game. It's totally different. We're comparing apples and oranges, and I thoroughly enjoy playing Red Dead, but I would never have the concentration to 100% a game like Red Dead or GTA. I've never 100% of GTAs either. I get too distracted and
GTAs
bored.
I never 100%ed, but I mean, Red Dead, you know, I just love that fucking game.
Yes, like, I know. But I've been enjoying Tony. I've been enjoying Tony Hawk, so it's good. I've had a little time, like, basically, like, instead of when I get home from the stream, I'll make some kind of food and like watch an hour of something to relax and then go to sleep. And instead of doing that, I'll pop on Tony Hawk. And my kids like it, which is also fun. Both my daughters enjoy.
I got on the wrong bus because you were able to play a little bit before we.
Yeah, I played a little bit tonight while I was waiting for you.
Yeah.
After the podcast, I can't. I got card grading to handle, but. That's okay.
I'm too tired to play anything. I'm just going to lay down and pass the fuck out. Your boy's tired. So that was my week in collecting. Not a whole lot going on. My next binder, I got this cute little 4-page binder.
Oh, nice.
You know what I'm going to fill it with?
Shuckles?
Shuckles.
Only the new art rare or any Shuckle?
Any Shuckle. Any Shuckle. I already have my little stack here of Shuckles.
So one of the things that you can do, I think Cerebee will have it. This is what I did for my Kamiya binder. Yeah, Cerebee has it. So if you go to Cerebee, you can print a list of all the Shuckle arts. Oh, there's not even that many. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
That's criminal.
Yeah, there's only 19 Shuckle arts.
Criminal.
But for Kamiya, there's like hundreds of arts that he has illustrated.
Should be hundreds of.
Including a sick Shuckle. Why did I not know about this? This is from VS series. That's not in my needs list.
What, does he have a cold?
What? Nothing. Dude, look at this thing. I'm going to have to go through now and check all the the S series because it doesn't come up. Look how sick that truckle is.
That's a badass looking shuckle.
Yeah, man. Tomokazu Kamiya. All right. I got now a new thing that I have to add to my freaking.
Wait, that's a shuckle by Kamiya and you didn't even know?
No, I didn't know it existed. It's not on my list of Kamiya artwork.
Wow. And you when
you search for Kamiya artwork, they list his work from oldest to newest. Let me see how I got to sort it. I don't know why it's not working. Click that. Yeah, it's not sorting properly. But stuff like that isn't on it. And like he has a whole nother series too that he did that isn't on here. From the Japanese vending series. Oh no, Janine's Truckle is on here. I don't know if I have it in my binder or not. I don't know. I'll have to go back through and double check that I have everything in the binder that is needed because he has a lot of cards. I have most at this point, but not all. All
right, so go back to what you were telling me to do with Sarabi.
Oh, well, what I was going to say, you don't have to because there's only 19 arts, but I was going to say, what I was going to say is you can print the arts and slide them into the pages so that you know which ones you have and don't have. And that way, when you're out looking for cards, instead of having to look it up on your phone, you just have a picture of the artwork like in the spot in the binder.
Considering there's only 19, I'm just going to fill it completely with all shuckles I can find.
Right. Very different than what I needed to do with Kamiya. With Kamiya, I have a picture in every slot that I'm missing the card. So that way when I see the card, like if I'm out somewhere with the binder or if I'm looking online for Kamiya cards, I can just reference the photos that I'm missing and it has the set, the number, the art, all that.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's what I'm going to do next. I also have all of my Growlithe and Arcanines in an ETB box. I have a shit ton I need to go through. See, what I don't like, see, one thing I was doing with the big three binder is I don't like the same card over and over and over again.
Sure.
So, like with the Shuckle, I don't mind because there's only 19 arts and I just want to have a Shuckle binder because that's fun. But, like with the Charmanders, I was doing, like, let's say, for example, the Obsidian Flame Charmander. I have the regular, and then I'd have the reverse holo. And those are the only two that I'll put in because I have like 10 Obsidian Flames Charmanders, but I don't want to have 10 fucking Obsidian Flame Charmanders in one binder.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to go through all of my Arcanines and Growliths because I have so goddamn many from all you lovely, lovely people. So I got to do the same thing with that. And that's going to be a whole nother fucking mission to sort that out.
Yeah. Well, it'll be fun whenever you have some downtime.
Yeah, I mean,
I try to get into the Kamiya binder like once a week or so, once every 2 weeks tops. I have some tonight that I have to do after I finish grading.
What I usually do is I'll throw on like Destination Fear or Project Fear, watch some ghost hunting and sit right here with my cool lights and and work on it. You know,
sick.
My sick lights.
Dude, turn that off. You look ridiculous. You look like one of the ghosts that are getting hunted. Good.
Better. Morgan Freeman coming to say hi.
Oh my God. That
Bruce Almighty joke.
Well, my friend, that was quite an update on your week in collecting.
And Wells Fargo.
And a lot of different Google's things. We've been chatting, and I want to make sure that we reserve time to learn something else new tonight.
Why don't you tell me about something else new? Oh
no, you gotta tell you. You about tell me else. About something else new. I want to learn about a freaking Pokemon.
Uno momento, good sir. Let me pull it up. So we're doing numero 272. Who are we doing?
272, Gen 2. Well, I already know. You told me in text.
God damn it! I didn't tell you. I asked you.
I know who it is, but I know it's Gen. I knew even without connecting those dots that it was Gen 2.
We're doing Ludicolo because you hate him in our rankings.
I do. It's true. And
I love Ludicolo because he actually is a pretty dope Pokemon.
Tell me why.
Here's some trivia.
Change my mind.
Ludicolo's evolutionary line has several unique attributes. They are the only Pokemon with a dual A group of water and grass. They are the only Pokemon that can have the ability Rain Dish. without it being their hidden ability. They are the only water-type Pokemon in the Grass A group and the only Grass-type Pokemon in the Water A group. So, right off the bat, they're very unique. That is Ludicolo, Lombre, and what's the lily pad's name? Ludicolo, Lombre, and Jesus, what is it?
Lotad.
Lotad.
And I knew that without looking it up, although I was going to look it up, but I thought of it as I was looking it up. For anybody.
So, Ludicolo's evolutionary line can be seen as a parallel in Shifchi's family. Both of them are part grass type. They first evolve at level 14, and a respective evolution stone is used to reach the final stage. Both are version exclusive Pokemon between Pokemon Ruby and Sapphire, and are based on Japanese legendary creatures or yokai. We've talked about many yokais before. That is a familiar word in our podcast now. Ludicolo's family are based on the Kappa, and Shiftry's is based on the Tengu. So I looked up what a Kappa is. A Kappa was a... Here, I'll just read it to you because I pulled it up.
We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies. Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details. Save big money at
Menards. Where does it start? Is a reptiloid Kami with similarities to yokai. Kappa can become harmful when not respected as gods. Same.
For real.
Accounts typically depict them as green human-like beings with webbed hands and feet and turtle-like carapaces on their backs. They have a depression on the head called a dish. Sara, I guess is the Japanese word, retains water, and if this is damaged or the liquid is lost, Kappa becomes severely weakened. Now, if you go to Wikipedia and if you look up Kappa, K-A-P-P-A, the drawing that they have of this thing is terrifying. Terrifying.
Would you like me to look it up? Is that why you're saying that?
Yes. I'm telling you and the viewers to look up Kappa, K-A-P-P-A on Wikipedia. And the first little image they got is...
the first thing that comes up is the freaking clothing brand. Oh, yeah, that thing's creepy.
Right?
it's kind of like a frog and a wolf mixed together.
Can you imagine that walking around and it has a fucking depression in its head full of water? Yeah,
no, I'm good on that.
Hard pass. Hard pass. Ludicolo is one of the few Pokemon with a gender difference, which official artwork depicts the female form. Okay. Origin. Ludicolo seems to be based on a lily pad. And the Kappa, a Japanese yokai, which we just discussed, that has a water-filled dish on its head, which we just discussed. Ludicolo's beak is closer to that of a duck or platypus. The colors and shape of its body are similar to various fruits, such as a gourd, pineapple, or papaya. It also resembles a stereotypical Mexican folk dancer or mariachi performer with a sombrero-shaped head. Poncho like body hair, which I didn't know that was body hair, that creeps me out. Mm-hmm. And dancing movements. Name origin. Ludicolo may be a combination of ludic, aimlessly playful, ludicrous, ridiculous, which means absurd or silly, if you didn't know this. The fuck is that word? Paludiculus? Paludiculus? P-A-L-U-D-I-C-O-L-O-U-S. Paludiculus. Paludiculus. Which means inhabiting marsh.
Just say it one more time.
Spell it or say it.
Neither. Keep going.
Paludiculus. inhabiting a marsh.
Isn't that the show with Rob Dyrdek?
No, that's I said that before. Ridiculous. Ridiculousness. Fucking Chanel West Coast laughing. And and Colosynth.
It made me think of when she got belted in the face like multiple times in the same episode. I think it, well, I don't,
they
I think
playing
it was
dodge,
Fantasy Factory. Yeah. Yeah. Kickball or dodgeball or some shit like that. I think it, I'm pretty sure it was Fantasy Factory, not Ridiculousness.
No, it was Fantasy Factory, yeah. Because it was after Big passed away, so there was no Robin Big. She got fucked up. A plant, so Colosynth, sorry. A plant that bears a round green fruit. It may also involve an anagram of loco, which is Spanish for crazy, if you were aware of that. So it's a pretty dope. The fuck is its Japanese name? Runpapa. That is an interesting name. Runpapa may be a combination of run, which means happy or bouncy. That's fun. Or rumba, a Cuban dance. And kappa. Oh, that makes sense then. Runpapa. Oh, also a kappa is a green fruit native to Mexico. You freeze, or are you just bored?
No, I'm just listening.
That was the end of it.
Oh, wow. Enthralling.
I like Ludicolo because it is a water and grass type, which is a awesome combination. You don't.
He also
like
looks
it.
Like a pineapple.
He does look like a pineapple. So, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm trying to look up what it is in German. God damn my phone. Why do you hate him so much? Because he looks
Capillaris.
Spell it.
K-A-P-P-A-L-O-R-E-S.
Capillaris.
Derived from the Japanese name Kapore and a traditional Japanese dance. Or which is a traditional Japanese dance, and Loris, a play on the English name. There you go. Now you know.
German.
The more you know.
I watched The Glorious Bastards today. There was a lot of German in that. Love that movie.
That's a great movie.
And cousin, business is a booming.
I'm in the business of killing Nazis, and business is booming.
God, that was a terrible impression.
Nah, it was perfect. Thank you. It's not exactly like him.
Yeah. He also looked just like Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm. I get that a lot, actually.
I can see why. Oh, this isn't peach, it's lemon.
Gotcha, bitch.
Get on the wrong bus or grab the wrong Snapple. I'm having a night. So we completely skipped over what usually comes in between collecting and highlight, which was the market update.
What do we need to talk about? I mean, Swish Altarts are going up again. Fucking Pokemon's going up. Everything's expensive as fuck. It's getting more expensive every day. There's not much to talk about. The Japanese market.
There
insane.
Was your market update.
Yeah. I mean, Pokemon go up, dude. I've been saying that every week for like over a year on this podcast. Pokemon go up like big time.
Big time.
It's just going up like every day. Goes up more and more every day. Of course, you could find some items that are going down. Japanese is in a weird spot. We got the tariffs coming. The tariffs launched a little early, actually. There was like this weird thing that they did in Japan. There's this thing called de minimis, where if you receive a package from Japan that's worth under $800, you don't pay tariff on it. And it was like a really good workaround because I could just receive 100 packages in a day that were all valued at $790, and then I wouldn't have to pay any tariffs. So I could order a huge quantity and avoid the tariffs. However, now they total all of the packages coming to your address, and if all of those packages exceed $800 in value in a day, then you pay tariffs on everything. So my whole shipment's all screwed up for this week. I don't know when I'm getting anything. So that's annoying. The Japanese market's going to be in a weird spot for the next month until we like get through this initial tariff phase. But my assumption is that everything Japanese is going to be like 15 to 20% more expensive. Less people are going to be willing to take on the product because of the tariffs. And then because the competition will be a little less prevalent, the price will be able to go up. Like people who are eating these tariffs or taking the risk of paying tariffs because it's not even like a certain thing, will have sort of an advantage, I guess. I don't know. I assume anything modern Japanese will go up in price. The other potential outcome, which this could happen just as easily, is that the Japanese market will crash a little bit because people will just stop buying Japanese and the Japanese sellers will have to lower the price in order to sell it. So if the value in Japan goes down 15%, then the tariffs kind of mean nothing and it just stays equal. If the value in Japan goes lower than 15% down, then we see a reduction in price in the US. So it's really hard to say. I think it'll go up. I think the demand is still going to be very strong. But I think we'll see, like, it's going to be weird. I think Japanese prices are going to just be like, name your price, whatever you paid, try to sell it at a profitable price point for the next like month or two. English is just going fucking bananas. There's
potential that Japanese cards are going to be cheaper.
I doubt singles will be cheaper.
I didn't mean singles. I meant packs.
Boxes. Yeah, there's a potential. I don't think so. Like, if you're interested in buying it, it probably won't be much cheaper. But some of the older stuff will, like, think like Future Flash, Ancient Roar, like boxes like that. People aren't going to be willing to pay the 15% tariff to get in a lot of that product. So in order for Japanese distributors to sell it, they're going to have to sell it at a cheaper price point.
Gotcha.
Because there's a very low 151. No, it's not. 151 is not going to go down. 151 will go up.
Well, it ever fucking does.
Yeah, everything
like
goes
the
up.
The other day, I sent you the screenshot of when.
Yeah, the 151
one of my first orders.
$60.
$60, and I had I probably had a fucking discount on it. Those coupons.
Yeah, and that wasn't even the cheapest I was selling them. That must have been after I sold out multiple times because I didn't hit 60 until I sold out three times, I think.
I don't know. That was like one of my first orders with you.
Yeah, but 151 had been out for a while by the time you found the stream.
I found your stream when it came out.
Oh, okay. So maybe it was the very first stock that I did.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And then it went down after that.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I remember the cheapest I sold them on TikTok was like $47.99 or something like that.
I remember that. I didn't go back that. I mean, I didn't look through every single order.
I was selling them sub $50. There's a video about it on my TikTok page.
Craziness.
Absolutely insane. They're $300 right now. I just looked up market earlier today on that box. It's a $300 ETB.
And they were $47.99 and we were getting coupons like crazy back then.
And people were, I mean, I sold a shitload of them, but it's like people just,
I remember in like
just available,
day,
you know?
There was like a random like Tuesday or Wednesday when you were talking and you're like, I have to go in and ship 50 fucking ETBs because they all just sold.
Yeah. As soon as I would list them, they would sell.
Crazy.
Which maybe was a sign that I should like raise the price or something, but whatever.
Fuck it. Yeah. I miss those days.
Me too.
I could rip comfortably.
Yeah. Oh, the market's just going to continue to go up. We're still in a bull run. It's not stopping anytime soon. We have the mega sets coming out in English. We have new sets coming out, which I'll talk about kind of separate from the market. But I don't think this is going to end until after the 30th anniversary. I think we're going to be in this for a little bit longer here. But kind of moving away from market and into like a Pokemon in general update, we do have some new news that came out today. That's pretty cool. We had two new trademarks in Japan for two new set names. One is called Mega Dream EX, and the other is called Abyss Eye. Now, we already knew about the set that is going to be called Abyss Eye. It's the Mega Gengar set. We just didn't know what it was going to be called. Now we officially know it's Abyss Eye. Mega Dream
Abyss
EX. Abyss Eye, the third eye on the top of Mega Gengar.
Gotcha.
Mega Dream is an entirely new set. We didn't know anything about it, but we got the information today, and it sounds like it's going to be the new high-class set for this November. So every year, Japan puts out a high-class set in like the November-December timeframe. Since most people who are listening to this podcast have been involved in the community, you would know the sets of V-Star Universe, Shiny Treasure EX, Terastal Festival, but there were other sets that fell into that as well. Shiny Star V, for example, Tag GX, for example, those are high-class sets. They're the 10-pack sets that always have god packs and like insane pull rates, and they're usually really, really, really good. And then they equate to, typically, a very, very strong set in English. So V-Star Universe was high-class, and that's Crown Zenith. Shiny Treasure was high-class, and that's Paldean Fates. Terastal Festival was high-class, and that's Prismatic Evolutions. So the newest one is called Mega Dream EX, and that's going to, we don't know what it's going to be in English yet, but that's going to be sort of our Christmas bonanza set. So like I said, Abyss Eye is referring to the Gengar set. Here's the time frame that we already know. This is what we have confirmed already. We got Mega Brave and Mega Symphonia early August, I believe the 4th. September 5th, we're getting the two theme decks that have been teased around the internet. What are you shaking your head for? The first maybe on Mega Brave and Symphonia?
Because the 4th was a Monday. Yeah,
August 1st. That was the Friday. I streamed it the first day on... No, it was Saturday. I don't remember. Anyway, August 1st, Mega Brave and Symphonia. September 5th, we're getting the theme decks. Those theme decks have already been teased online. There's pictures of the Haunter Art Rare out already. But basically, one is going to be a Mega Gengar deck, and the other one is going to be a Mega Diancie deck. We've already seen the artwork for the Diancie and for the Haunter. I don't think we have a confirmed artwork for the Mega Gengar. There's been a few pictures I've seen, but I don't think there's one that's confirmed. September 26th, we're getting Inferno X. That's the Mega Charizard set. That's coming from Japan, September 26th.
When are we getting the Abyss Eye?
There's no official date on Abyss Eye yet. Okay. But what we do know in English, so this is what's weird. In English, we know that the Mega set is going to be half Charizard and half Gengar. And they're calling it like Phantasmal Flames, I think. So the only dates that we have that are actually locked in are September 26th. We're getting Inferno X. Typically, we would get the next Japanese set would be Abyss Eye, because they would then combine those two sets into the English set. We don't have a release date on Abyss Eye yet. And we just saw the trademark file, which is really late for Pokemon. Typically, the trademark files are way earlier. But this is what we do know for sure. September 26th, Inferno X. October 16th, Legends Z through A is releasing worldwide. And then we have four sets that we don't have release dates for, but we have names for. So we have Abyss Eye, we have Mega Dream EX, which we think is going to release in November, December, because it's a high class set. Typically, they always release in November, December. Then we also have Ninja Spinner, which is going to be Greninja. We would have to imagine that name is referring to Greninja. And then we have Storm Emeralda. So that's going back to Emerald series, which would be Rayquaza. So we're assuming Storm Emeralda and Ninja Spinner are Rayquaza and Greninja, respectively. So those are the sets that we know are coming for Megas.
So I'm just like thinking, like game-wise, we don't have a Mega Greninja at the moment.
Negative.
So they're most likely going to introduce that. That's my new theory.
That's what it's looking like.
You already have Mega Ray.
Yeah, so Greninja... It's not officially confirmed, but it's a popular topic of discussion and speculation, especially given the existence of Ash's Greninja. Many believe Mega Greninja could be the on the horizon, potentially drawing inspiration from the Ash Greninja design or taking a different, more unique approach. So we do, there is a lot of speculation that Mega Greninja is coming, and the fact that we have a set called Ninja Spinner, more or less confirmed. Yeah. So we're getting a Mega Greninja.
Gotcha.
I don't know what else could possibly be Ninja Spinner. It's going to be a Mega Greninja set. And it's going to be
Is Mr. Mime a ninja?
Mr. Mime could be a ninja. He could pretend to be a ninja. He could mime ninja scenes.
That he can.
So yeah, there's like a quick info dump on what's coming as far as the Japanese market. The only reason that is super impactful is because it gives us a look into what's coming for English. So we already know the next English, or one of the next English mega sets, is Phantasmal Flames. And that's going to be a mix of Inferno X and Abyss Eye. So my guess is that we'll get September Inferno X, and then sometime in October we'll get Abyss Eye. And then I don't know the order, but after that we'll get either Ninja Spinner or Storm. We might not see Ninja Spinner or Storm until 2026. So if I had to take an educated guess, I would assume we would do Inferno X September 26th, Abyss Eye late October, and then late November we'll get Mega Dream, and then we won't get Ninja Spinner or Storm Emerald until at very end of December, early January 26th. And then
correct.
Yeah, that's like typically how things would go. So nothing is slowing down. I mean, we're in the hottest market we've ever been in. We're getting a set that's a mix of Charizard and Gengar. After that, we for sure have a Mega Greninja being released. We're getting a Mega Rayquaza set, and we have a Mega Dream EX set that's going to be a high-class set that supposedly focuses on Dragonite. I hope that they do a good job with the artwork. Otherwise, that set could be a real shitter, which maybe would be good. That would slow the market down if that set totally sucks ass. But even if, let's say, they do a horrible job and the top, quote-unquote, top chase is the Dragonite and the cards both look terrible, there's going to be 20 other chases. There's going to be 20 SARs, and they're all going to be Megas, and they're all going to be badass. And then there's going to be 30 Art Rares, and you know that those are going to be good. So even if the Dragonite sucks, the rest of the set should be strong enough to cover. Like with Paldean Fates, like I don't think... In Shiny Treasure EX, when it first came out, Bubble Mew was not the chase. It was always the Charizard. It took, like, I don't know how long for Bubble Mew to overtake Charizard. So it's very possible. I sold
my Bubble Mew at $80 market.
Yeah. It just wasn't a desirable card. And then enough people wanted it, and whatever, for whatever reason, it just became like a meme item and a hot item, and the market just went to the moon on it.
Crazy Town Banana Pants.
Yeah. So that's kind of a little bit of a market update. Also, like a look into what's coming update. And
exciting. I like, you know,
yeah, Pokemon Go up, guys. We're heading into, we're currently in what should be a slow season. And then things kind of ramp up October, November, usually. And when you look at like historical Pokemon data, December is usually a little bit slower with Christmas time. A lot of people kind of tighten the belt on discretionary spending in December. Although Japanese sets usually perform really, really well in December, and sealed does really well, but like singles and stuff like that have a little bit of a harder time in December. And then we head into January and we're getting a freaking Mega Rayquaza set. We're getting a 30th anniversary set. It's just it's a crazy, crazy time to be a collector of Pokemon things.
We've been saying that for the past like year.
I mean, I've been screaming this from the rooftops, like just hold your sealed. That's all you have to do. When I first started talking about it, I was like, hey, the Fusion Strike Pokemon Center ETBs are still on the Pokemon Center. It'd probably be a pretty good buy. They're $360 each now, man. They were fucking $50.
That's funny. I remember that.
Like, hey, I think that one's got a really good artwork. Probably going to go up. I mean, I didn't expect it to go up 6x in a 7-month period, but. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I got on that. What else? Are we talking about anything else? Or are we going to rank some shit?
Let's rank some shit.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I'm going to pull suggestions. We got three. John, we're going to use yours, just not this week.
Okay.
So hold on, I'm trying to get...
Yeah, I'm not running anything yet. Relax, Buster.
And I got to get my notes ready on my fucking thing.
Oh my gosh, I keep dropping the same thing over and over.
Stop dropping it.
I'm trying, man.
I always have to remember to delete this when we're done, so I don't have to do it while we're fucking...
Yeah, you should remember that, man. Also, get on the right goddamn bus.
Listen. I'm tired. Just close my phone like an asshole. So the first one we're going to do comes to us by ways of King J.
Shout out King J.
King JB. Sorry, I didn't do the Pokemon you wanted me to highlight. We're going to rate them Pokemon that Zachmo, I, a.k.a. Fat and Sweaty, can hit with a Stone Cold Stunner.
All right, Pokemon that I think you could successfully execute a Stone Cold Stunner on.
Yes.
With 10 being no shot.
They definitely and, fucking can't.
Yeah. And 1 being you have some semblance of a chance.
Well, yeah.
All right. 15.
Nope.
No.
One at a time.
One Pokemon, all everything, no typing or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Let's do default form. So we don't get any weird ones. All right. First Pokemon on our randomly generated list.
Oh, look, a Growlithe.
Can Zachmo stun a Servine?
It doesn't really have a neck. You're going to be seeing me do that a lot, this ranking.
He's just going like this.
All right. Servine is ranked. Are you ready for number two?
I am ready.
Shellder. I'm going to do that. All right.
Do that. Okay.
Abomasnow. Ready?
Yes, sir.
Boltoned.
Oh, I don't want to Stone Cold Stunner a little pup. Probably electrocute me once I grab it.
I was thinking the same thing. I would love to see you try to stun a Boltoned. Meetang. We didn't really account for the Pokemon of the wrong shape, the wrong form factor.
I'm accounting for it.
After Meetang, we have Whirlipede. After Whirlipede, you want a neck. After Whirlipede, we got Farigiraffe.
Proud. Farigiraffe, you goddamn fucking moron.
After that, we got Dusclops.
Thing's a fucking ghost. I'm not going to grab it.
After Dusclops, we got Indeedee. And last but not least, we got Turtwig. We got Turtwig. Damn. All right. My list is a little wonky, but it is what it is.
As is mine, but I think I can justify each and every one. Number 10, I put Whirlipede because I don't know how I'm supposed to do that.
Farigiraffe.
You know, I was saving number 10, but then Whirlipede came out right before Farigiraffe.
Yeah.
And I would have put that there, but
yeah, no shot. Whirlipede.
But Whirlipede's just a fucking.
I agree. Whirlipede goes low on the list, but.
All right. Number 9, I have Abomasnow.
I also have Abomasnow.
I mean, we're both fat. I can try to get it. 8, I have Meetang because that thing doesn't have a neck.
I have Turtwig. It was just the last spot left.
That's fair. 7, I have Farigiraffe because that was the closest to 10 that I could put it.
Yeah, I have Whirlipede at 7.
Okay. 6, I have Dusclops. It's a ghost. I don't know how I'm supposed to do it.
I have Meetang.
Okay. Respectable. 5, I have Shellder.
I also have Shellder at 5.
I didn't know where to put it that early.
Right. Same.
4, I have Boltund.
I also have Boltund at 4.
Look at us. 3, I have Servine.
I have Dusclops at 3.
I figured Servine has somewhat of a neck. I could do it.
Yeah, you could definitely stun Servine.
2, I have Turtwig.
I have Servine at 2.
Okay. And 1, I have Indeedee.
I also have Indeedee.
Look at us.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I'm surprised.
I think.
If you're playing along at home, let us know.
You know they're not, because they never are.
What's next? What's our next ranking?
How about this? Instead of playing along at home, let me know which one of those 10 you think would be the funniest to watch me try to Stone Cold Stunner.
Shellder all day. Just a tongue flapping just around.
Trying to grab it. The next one was Pokemon. Hold on. This one comes by way of Ricario. And it's Pokemon on which one you think would be fun to get stoned with.
Fun to get stoned with.
Yep.
10 being not fun at all.
Yes.
And 1 being like I'm having the best time of my life.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do this. Blind ranking 10 Pokemon. Who would you most likely have fun with while getting stoned? Number 1, Regigigas.
What was that?
Oh man.
Sorry. I don't know what just happened, but everything fell next to me.
Oh. What? We're losing you.
Everything that fell next to me, it scared the shit out of me. Hold on.
Got it.
Okay, Regigigas.
Regigigas.
Okay.
I can't scream. The kids are sleeping.
Oh. Pidgeot.
All right.
My mom is probably trying to sleep. I didn't want to yell either. But I had to give them something.
It's Pidgeot. Pidgeot. Yeah, I can't do it. Okay. Jinx. Oh, no.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
All right. Iron Valiant. Man, that's a terrifying photo of Iron Valiant, too.
Maybe that's what I'm going based off of. Iron Valiant's terrifying everywhere.
Ralts.
Now, how old is Ralts? I don't know if I want to be getting high.
I don't know, but he looks like he's already stoned.
It's true.
Dino.
He looks like he's stoned. That little fucking smirk.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. I don't know. I have a different interpretation of Dino, but I could see yours. Heracross.
Happy-go-lucky guy.
Got 3 left. Aerodactyl. Oof. Yanma. All right. All my eggs are in this basket. Duot. I mean, all right.
Okay.
All right.
Numero 10, I have Aerodactyl.
I also have Aerodactyl. I have no desire.
He just seems like he'd be screaming the entire
time. Zero desire whatsoever.
Fucking fossil. Okay, I get it. Leave me alone. 9, I have Regigigas.
I have Pidgeot at number 9.
Now, I don't know if you know what Regigigas sounds like.
Imagine it's got like a weird, like metallic clanking sound.
Close enough. It's very terrifying, and I would not want to be high and hear that. 8, I have Jinx.
I have Heracross at number 8.
I don't know.
Jinx, my thing just about Heracross, here's why Heracross is so low on my list. That fucking thing on its head, stoned with that thing, having to manage it, just not going to be a good time.
It's a horn. It's a fucking beetle.
Bro, there's going to be doorway issues. There's going to be like movement issues. I'm not about it.
And you're going to get high and you're just going to sit there.
I'm not arguing like with your placement. I'm just telling you why I think Heracross is worse than Jinx.
I highly disagree. Jinx is just, she's going to freak me out. She's going to try to give me a fucking kiss. I'm going to be like, yo, my lips are too dry. Back up.
Why do you think she's going to kiss you, bro? You think so highly of yourself. She's got
standards.
Why?
You know why? Wow. First of all, ouch. Second of all, it's because of you.
Because
anybody,
give me a kiss.
Anybody in the Collector's Club can attest to that. When they pull a Jinx, she just wants a kiss. Give her a kiss. And then you put the card right to the
fucking camera. I should put a kissing face Jinx emote in the subscriber only emotes.
You should. That'd be funny. So number 7, I have Iron Valiant because he just looks like he'd fucking terrify me.
She, I think, but I don't know. I have Dino at number 7. Hear me out.
Okay.
My vibe on Dino is that Dino would be one of those that gets like too energetic and like golden retrievery when stoned, and that's not my vibe. And like, I don't want that. You're just gonna fucking harsh my mellow. You know what I'm saying?
I have the complete opposite visualization of a dino.
I don't know. I saw Dino.
He just looks like a chill little dude with his emo hair. He just looks like he'll get high and like laugh at the most random bullshit.
I have a different interpretation of Dino. If that's how I interpreted Dino when I saw Dino, then that's what I would have said.
Iron Valiant just looks like it would really harsh my mellow.
Yeah, Iron Valiant.
Too serious.
I'm taking a risk on Iron Valiant.
It looks too serious. It's going to harsh my mellow. 6, I have Pidgeot because he's just going to be yelling the entire fucking time.
I have Jinx at number 6. Okay. Now, I don't want to get stoned with Jinx. I don't want to get stoned with anybody from 6 down, really. Mm. Jinx is at least humanoid. So there's that part. Yeah, I just imagine Jinx being extremely annoying.
Yeah.
Like,
also with those lips
all over the L.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
You know, like taking too many puffs without passing.
Not claiming five that, on
claiming,
it.
Claiming that she's the best blunt roller in the room, but then she rolls a blunt. It looks like a fucking twig. Like, just not about
covered
that
in her slobber. And it's like, yeah, limp.
Like, no, thank you. Pass.
Oh, 5, I have Heracross. He's got a little smile on. He looks cool.
5, I have Iron Valiant because I'm brave. Oh, and I think you're a pussy.
The thing's way too fucking.
It looks intimidating, but how do you know that wouldn't be dope? That could be really cool.
Mm. 4, I have Yanma.
I have Yanma too. It was a mistake. It was just the only slot I had.
It was just there.
Yeah. Yanma would be incredibly annoying to get stoned with.
You just hear its fucking wings going.
Yeah. No, thank you.
No, thank you. 3, I have Dewott.
I have Regigigas at 3. And this was intentional. First pick out of the gate. What's on Regigigas's chest?
I doubt it's Bud.
No, it's not Bud, dude. He's got Bud on his shoulders and legs. What's on his chest?
Fucking colors?
Flashing lights, bro.
Right.
Dude's got a built-in fucking party mode.
You don't get high and go into flashing lights. You get high and you chill the fuck out.
Nah, dude. I picture Regigigas being a very good time when stoned.
I don't. Listening
built-in
to
party
it,
lights.
No. Built-in party lights. Yeah. Just fucking dubstep the entire time. No, thank you.
Who said anything about dubstep?
That's what it sounds like.
What sounds like? Regigigas does?
Yeah, it sounds like dubstep.
It'd be reggaeton. It'd be Regigigas.
No, it wouldn't.
Regigigas would turn into Regigigas with the flashing lights.
That's really funny. Hold on.
What are we holding on for?
Because
oh, you're going to play the noise?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like fucking dubstep.
It wouldn't sound like that when it was high.
I don't know. None of us know that.
Yeah, man. Rasta.
Okay. Bomba so that was clap. 3. Terrible. 2, I have Ralts.
I also have Ralts.
So who does that leave your number 1? Don't tell me. Dewott. 1, I have Dino, for my reasoning, I think.
Yeah, I would have put Ralts up at number 1. I would rearrange a few things. I feel like Ralts would just be like super fucking chill.
Ralts, I think, is going to be super chill, but I also think it's going to be that like that one friend who gets high but has like posters all around their room of like those Spencer's Fairy posters and the shrooms. You know exactly what I'm talking
about. I know who you're talking about, but I see like Dino more as that and like Dino, whatever, more like the annoying one, like the Spencer's Blacklight posters. And like, see, I picture Ralts like pulling out like some of the best bud you've ever seen in your life, like mad casual and open to sharing it too, you know?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong. I see that as well, but I also see them having those fucking posters and being that annoying person.
I see Dino, the way you see Ralts, and that's okay.
All right, whatever. I think that's a fair ranking. We both just don't want to get high with Aerodactyl. And that's
no, definitely fucking not. No chance.
Perfectly fine. He's got a really tiny body compared to his head, and it freaks me out sometimes.
I pictured like Puff the Magic Dragon.
Now, his Drampa came up number 1.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
That's Puff right there.
Atreyu. All right. now what are we doing?
15 battle party.
15 battle party coming up.
Fully evolved. Fully evolved.
Oh yeah, my bad. Fully evolved. Ugh. All right, here we go. 15. We got to make a battle party of 6 out of these 15 Pokemon, ladies and gentlemen. Pokemon number 1 is Shaymin, followed by Fezzendipity, Sawsbuck, Kamo-Oh, Mew, Nidoking, Cherrim, Farfetch'd, Zangoose, Kartana, Sea Titan, Gyarados, Cobalion, Dewgong, and Maridon. Those
Dewgong
are
W.
Those are the 6 to choose from. We need to make a battle party against one another. Let's make it happen.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's easy.
I have my first 4.
Fucking dubstep.
Who do I take last? All right, I'm gonna risk it for the biscuit here. Might cost me the match.
All right, so I am going Fezzendipity.
Yep.
Mew, obviously. Yep. Nidoking.
Yep.
Gary.
Yep.
Cobalion.
Yep.
Rhydon.
I have Kartana.
How? Why?
Because Kartana's beast.
What?
I was waiting on my last pick. I was going back and forth, vacillating between a few. Kartana was my number 6. And I was tossing around Kamo-Oh, Zangoose, Kartana. Actually, I was also looking at Dewgong, and Maridon was a potential choice, but I really don't like Maridon. All right, ChatGPT that shit up. Kartana v. Maridon.
You know I'm winning that.
You think you know, but you have no idea. This is MTV True Life. Just kidding. Don't copyright strike us for that, please. It's been a good episode. I don't want to have to re-record an entire week because I said that.
Right on wins. I told you just to tell me who wins. I didn't want a whole fucking explanation.
That's boring.
Okay. Elaborate. Too late. Not too late. I already said elaborate. Maridon would almost always beat. The fuck? Okay, hold on. I gotta redo this. It's not, I didn't type, put in Kartana. Maridon wins almost every time. Kartana's paper thin special defense means one strong special hit from Maridon, like Electro Drift or Draco Meteor,
knock it out.
Before
Kartana, all right.
Before enough. Kartana can do much.
Enough. Kartana was not the right choice. It's fine.
You could have picked so many other Kamo-Oh.
Too late, man. It's over. The ranking's done. That's the end of the episode.
One.
Fine. All right. I concede. You win. I'll take off my hat.
And victorious.
You can have the hat.
All right. Send it to me.
This hat's fucking dope. Maybe I'll wear it to kill Tony on Saturday. I
always wanted an ad chat, and I'm going to take it off your head and then run to the streets of New York City with it.
Can you imagine us, me chasing you in New York City?
We're not going to go very far, I'll tell you that much.
I immediately thought of the scene from Jackass where Preston Lacey is chasing Wee Man.
Wee Man? What, when they were in India?
Yeah. Oh my God, bro, that's funny. All right. Anyway.
Were those two homeless men chasing each other? One in front, you're all sweaty.
That's been another episode of the 151 Collective.
That it has. I have been your most gracious co-host, Zach Mo, a.k.a. Fat, Sweaty, and now Victorious.
And I have been your losing co-host, Collector, a.k.a. Buzzberry Moonhall.
Yeah, I would have completely fucking forgot that.
I have to leave it. I left the tab open the entire time.
I would have completely forgotten that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, like, subscribe, comment, Everybody try to be first before Charlie is.
Yep.
Because he's always first.
If you find the stream because of this podcast, I'm still, the ETB giveaway is still a thing. What did I say I would give away?
An ETB under 200.
Yeah, still doing that. If you discover the stream because of this podcast.
That's pretty solid fucking offer.
Yep, do it.
Do it, do it.
There's people listening in all corners of the world. I know somebody's fucking listened to this for the first time. The question is, do they make it an hour and 27 minutes into this masterpiece?
Hour 27, Jesus.
Yep. Anyway, catch you guys next week. No, maybe not next week. I don't know. To be determined. Love you. Bye.
Bye.